That was the most fun I've ever had on a podcast.
Oh,
that
was fun.
I didn't think I was going to be on the podcast.
Welcome to the Reality Transurfing Podcast. I'm your host, Bootsy Greenwood, and today I'm joined with Paranormal Karen Rontowski and Terry Huberman, psychic medium, a comic psychic medium, real psychic medium,
yes,
in a comic show. Nothing confusing.
Correct.
About right. That.
Not at all.
I have a show I call Psychic Stand-Up where comics do the show. I wish I was doing it when you were here. You do 10 minutes and then I give you a tarot reading.
Oh,
and then
God.
Between the comics, Terry comes up and does mediumship stuff and she's fabulous.
Awesome. I wish you were doing it. When's the next one of those that you're doing?
You know what? I don't know because I have to find a new place.
Okay.
But somebody told me about some kind of witchy shops and stuff that might have places to do it. So why not, right?
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, really, really cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Karen is a comedian. She's been a comedian for some time. She's an excellent comedian.
Years.
Yeah. She's been on a lot of really cool stuff. I'll put some links for sure for everybody to check out. Really funny. And Terry's been part of the Reality Transurfing group on Facebook and contributing and talking and engaging. And we've been talking about these ideas and sort of sharing them because we're all Russian spies trying to take over the U.S. government.
Yeah, we are.
So, you know, that's...
It's a hard time to be Russian, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of blowback right now. You know, it's tough. But yeah, I'm really excited because you had extended an offer for me to come on your show, and I had a great time. Thank you so much,
Thank you
Karen.
For being on my show,
it was
Paranormal
truly my
Karen.
Pleasure.
I'm just going to get that plug in.
Yeah. Paranormal Karen, that's the name of the show. There's only one. And yeah, I had so much fun just talking with you, and I wanted to talk to you about... because you study so much paranormal stuff, how that relates and maybe kind of talk through a little bit of the filter of transurfing and Tufte and this crazy Russian philosophy. Not really a philosophy, like I guess to sound pretentious, a reality management tool or something.
Well, you know what? I don't think it sounds pretentious, but it's kind of a way to live.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I do my paranormal podcast, I hit everything from... sort of scary things. If people want to know about ghost spirits, like I said, tomorrow I'm interviewing someone about fairies, all the way to positive thinking, anything, because paranormal or occult is just outside the regular, you know, thing. It's just stepping outside a little weird. So I kind of cover a lot of topics. So if people are just looking for demons, I don't have that for them. I have a few, but not a lot.
You're not a one note pony.
I'm not a one note. We hit everything.
That's right. Not just demons.
That's right. They can only be interesting for so long.
I know.
But also, I do a lot of like with Jessa. Jessa came over and introduced me to this. Jessa Reed, who I'm sure everybody knows. She was like, hey, I found this article. This is it. This is what I learned in alien school. And she came over and there's a magazine called Medium that did a wonderful short synopsis of sort of like the steps in 12. And it was two episodes that we did it in. But it was, I do think it's life changing. And in those 12 steps.
Well, Karen Rontowski's here. The lights are
flashing. The lights are flashing. Yeah. There's already a ghost.
You brought him with you, didn't you?
And I thought, and then I listened to you on the book. That's how we found you.
Yeah.
And I just feel like. There, Tufte gets a little more complicated where you have to listen over and over and over. But I felt like those 12 steps are just, again, out thinking outside the box, thinking in a different way, and really thinking correct. I mean, I guess that's a judgment, but I really felt like everything with it resonated with me.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really neat to hear. Me too. That's why, you know, I wanted to read the book and all that and did. And you know, it's a lot of that is still maybe a little dicey, but whatever. You step out, you take risks. Who cares, right?
And I throw that into the healing category. I have healers on my show, and Terry's a healer too, to all kinds of different modalities, and
very cool.
And I'm a Reiki master. But I really think, and that's a lot of tarot. You know, tarot really is predicting the future, but it's also a lot of. Sometimes I just want to be like cheerleading. Like, yeah, why would you? Sometimes people just need you to go. Why wouldn't you do that? If
sure.
That's your dream,
yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, there's just some stigma about like coaching and stuff. You know, I feel it because I'm like, well, I don't want to tell people what to do. You know, that seems authoritarian, but it's voluntary. So then it's not authoritarian anymore.
Right.
But also it's just about having a perspective that's a little bit wider than yours because you can't see right, really right in front of you. You know, it's hard. And that's what friends are for, you know, and people to kind of help you who, you know, I guess have studied stuff that you haven't and vice versa. It's like you do her cards and she does your cards, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like, yeah. You know, that it makes a lot of sense that way. We all watch out for each other and we're all helping and...
That's like, the heart share.
Yeah.
That's the heart share.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Care Bears.
Yeah.
The Care Bears. I love that.
And two, I think that we are programmed, especially in America, I don't know where else, we are so programmed for negativity. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend that talks to me and like when I'm like, yeah, you're kind of negative about it. She's like, no, I'm not. Yet everything is can't, shouldn't, like, it's like, I tell her, you got to listen to this. And I, it's no secret. I am not a Trump fan, not to get political.
Sure.
I will remember one thing he said in his life that I was like, that's it. And it was right after Princess Diana died. And somebody asked him about it somehow. And he said, it's too bad. I would have liked to date her. And someone was, and the journalist said, really, you think Diana would go out with you? And he said, anything is possible. And I was like, you know what? He's got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything is possible. That's sure. The one smart thing he's ever said. Broken clock.
1 point for
right
Donald.
Once. A broken clock is even right once every decade.
Yeah.
But that is that thinking. You know what right. I mean? It's, yeah, why are you not? And well, that's literally what this gives people license to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it explains so much that, like, how could this have happened, right? Like, people,
oh, yeah.
When that happened, people were like, wow, how could this happen? But the power of negative energy. Is pretty powerful. It's just as powerful,
oh, yeah.
You know? And
yep.
So building up that momentum, whether it be, you know, positive or negative, it's just feeding that pendulum.
It's that balance.
Exactly. Well, it's those things that, you know, I push it to Gigi and she's like, no, I hate that. And I'm like, yes, it's great. You know, and it just swings back and forth between us getting higher and higher. And the more people start paying attention at this, you know, phenomenon,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to just kick up a
yep.
shitstorm. For lack
yes.
of, I mean, it's like there's some weird shit on YouTube nowadays.
Oof.
I don't know if you guys have been down the rabbit hole lately, but it's just
about
like, just like teaching almost sociopathy, I would say, you know,
oh.
Literally teaching some like pretty dark stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is out in the open. And I feel like sociopaths, it's like 1 to 2% of the population,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if they're
I think
teaching
it's one
people,
in every 25 people,
then it's more than that. And that's
right.
A problem.
Huh. Well, I don't know what that is that you're talking about, but I do, but I'd love to hear it. But I read a book called The Sociopath Next Door, and it's 1 in 25 people.
And
it was
25.
Terrifying.
That's
oh
a
God.
Lot.
And yeah, and I think
high
it's,
number.
Yeah. So, but it's not like murders, like serial killers, but it is definitely people that are just screwing up other people's lives for sport.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
very, yeah, it's very,
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's like a Chuck Palahniuk book. I can't remember which one, but they would just like run people off the road, you know, or like.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even the it's trolls. That on the internet that
right.
have points for upsetting people. Like
they yeah,
we've
yeah.
gone see, I walk in the room and it goes so negative. I watched a I watched a documentary on trolls and they interviewed them and they literally look for people whose children have passed in the Facebook pages and they get points if they can go in and just be horrible.
That's
yeah.
awful.
Oh, that's awful.
That's why also
Jesus
though,
Christ.
Never,
that's not like roast me on Reddit,
right.
You know?
But if you don't react or you just block them, usually they go away.
Oh my God.
So,
that's awful.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. There's some weird stuff out there. The
yeah.
internet has really exposed human nature to the public. Which is pretty cool in a way.
Yes. And on the positive side, I always feel like that's the thing about show business. Internet was the big equalizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
don't need agents or managers. If we can do it ourselves,
dude,
then they will work for
that's
us.
That's why I admire comics so much.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are the best.
Well, you're a comic.
Yeah. I'm still pretty new, to be honest. I've only been doing stand-up for about a year. I'm taking a break now because I'm working on this and I'm going to keep at it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I have so much fun with it. It's fun to do. To try it out and do, I do improv too. I'm probably better at improv.
I love me some
it's
improv.
So, I love me
oh,
some
yeah.
improv. I love me some, I people wouldn't say I love me. I can't, I can't even say it. I'm so excited. But yeah, no, it's, I love comedy. It's because it's truth. Like the people were really upset about Dave Chappelle's, or a lot of, some people were.
I didn't see it, but I know.
It's good. I mean, there's definitely some controversial points, but I mean, for the most part, he's not even telling jokes. He's just like, leveling with you, you know? Oh. The realest shit to me is the most funny.
Yeah.
Like the most honest. That's why Jessa's so funny, because mm-hmm. she'll just yeah. say the most obvious thing, and sometimes the obvious thing is the most, I don't know, hard to point out. I don't yeah. know. I don't know.
Yep. But. Yep.
But yeah, speaking of negativity and stuff, let's get into, I really want to learn about, you know, what you've been learning paranormally and sort of like think about that in the way of trans surfing and some of that.
Let's see if I can sort of make the, let me see if I can connect the two, because I really do, let me see how I can do that. So my stuff, let's see. Kind of stumped me. How does it fit into trans surfing?
Well, you got to be in the class.
I got to. Oh, in parapsychology, yes.
Right, in parapsychology.
And so parapsychology.
Good God.
Was that happening
already?
That's
never happened before. Now
with
it's happened
the lights?
Twice.
This
no?
isn't
lights.
Surprising me, though, Karen. Come on.
You and me together, right?
Yeah, the lights are flickering. We're going to check the TV here in a minute and just make sure it's...
That we're all okay? Well, I think anytime you're thinking outside the box, that's the start of it,
sure.
right? And I also think Toofty, for example, part of what really caught me about her is we were trying to figure out, and I was actually talking to my demonologist friends and my UFO friends, we were kind of trying to figure out who she was, and as in sort of fitting into a UFO being or a higher consciousness being. And I actually think we did sort of narrow it down in that the way that she speaks to you, where she's kind of like, you, my little...
Yeah, freaks.
My little snails, my freaks.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
There's a real interesting connection that with that. And it's not quite in the parapsychology yet, but with when we're talking about interdimensional beings like fairies or elementals or things like that, you have to be very careful. They have a different consciousness.
Okay.
Or a different, what we would consider ethics. So if you are starting, if there's an elemental being and they want something, and out in your yard you leave them something, you leave them a gift of food or whatever they want, I actually want to go back to fairies, just in the way that you, even in Middle Eastern terms, they have something called a jinn, and they leave them a meal, they leave them something to pass this house by. It's not like here where they would go, well, thank you, and we're going to leave you something. It turns into an interaction of more like, then I'm coming back for this tomorrow.
Huh.
So you have to be very careful how you interact. So it was very interesting the way she sort of spoke to us as very smaller, or we have little brains that don't get everything. So I always think that's kind of an interesting, that was the first thing that caught me about that, is this is a being that is talking about, not that they're unethical, but they have a very different ethics than us.
Sure.
So
interesting.
It's almost like too, when we get into good and bad, and what is good and bad, mm-hmm. and what is karma, mm-hmm. and what is judgment? Mm-hmm. Is it good or bad?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing. So Toofty actually grabbed me more. In fact, that was why I texted you, and I was like, that picture on the front, I don't know if he chose it, but I was very interested to the way she looked human, but she was red.
Yes.
And I was like, was there anything behind that? That fascinated me.
Yeah, I think there is. If I'm not mistaken, I believe this woman, she's an actor, and I think she works with Vadim. Yeah. She also like helps to channel Toofty. Toofty is a real thing. And actually, it might be pronounced Tafty. I might have mispronounced it not once, not twice.
On the book.
Killing
but
it.
That's okay.
And
we're Americans.
On the book,
that's
and
what
in
do.
Real life, you know.
That's what
and
we
I'm
do as Americans.
I'm teaching it, yeah. and I'm not even... it's so sad, isn't it? So I mispronounced the name of a goddess, you know. And the way I like to think of it, and the way, because the tone's weird when you first read it, you're like, "What the what?" And then you're like, you get into the book and start applying the principles, and it's like, "Oh wow!" And so the way I like to think of it is like, if you were a goddess who's done this ride 1,000 times,
mm-hmm.
and you were trying, and are you not frustrated a little bit? You're like, come on, pick it up, guys. You know, like, you're sitting here and you're complaining, but you're not seeing the bird's eye view that things are actually working out to your advantage, even though it appears that they're not, right? Like, it's that simple. So just reminding yourself over and over again that it's to an advantage. And, you know, I would never throw salt in someone's wound, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or say that to the wrong person. But it's important to find that, because like Napoleon Hill says the same thing in Outwitting the Devil, that for every cause there is the seed of an effect that is either positive or negative, and you choose. It's the same idea. So, you know, like, it's kind of bizarre, but as Renee says, there's evidence to support all theories. The world, as Vadim says, is a mirror, right? So,
exactly. And that is, it's very interesting to me because it really, Scott, who, Brian Scott.
Oh, Brian Scott, yeah.
Brian nice showed, guy. Yes, he showed me Vadim's tarot deck.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very interesting, except that it's in Russian. Because I was like, Terry, we got to, she was like, we got to get that. And I was like, yeah, but we can't.
We can't read it. Are the characters different?
Very close.
Yeah.
But I found something on the internet that was sort of an interpretation of the way he has presented it, which was a little different. I would like to see that. Huh. Like, you'd have to know. She reads tarot a little different than me.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to put up a class, but I'm very... symbolism, very this means that, very I almost say when I first learned to read tarot, I thought I wasn't psychic, so I was like, if I learn everything about this card and learn to put the puzzle together, I'll get it. And I think that's the way I teach it now. I work off the cards a lot, which is just what comes to me
intuitive,
but she works off a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the only way. Yeah.
Yeah. And I use like Vegas cards that you would play poker with.
Like solitaire.
Yeah, like solitaire cards.
Yeah, spiritual solitaire. Let's get down to
this. So I go rogue.
Which is actually where the tarot deck came from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Or I mean the regular deck came from the tarot deck.
The regular deck, the card deck came from tarot was first, and then the cards that we play. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. Interesting.
There's a legend about tarot, but I don't know that it's true, but it's a good legend, that the tarot was supposed to hold the secrets of the universe, and they thought, well, how do we keep this book? And they were like, well, no book is going to be around forever. But we know that one thing men will always do is gamble and play a game. So they made it into a game. They made the cards into a game.
That's smart.
It's a good legend. I don't know that one's true.
Painting stuff on a cave didn't last. Right. But playing cards.
And books, people don't read books. But if we can hook them into a game.
Right. exactly. It's smart, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why a lot of the tablets are like etched in stone, you know? Like all the cuneiform stuff. Probably because it's like, if you need to get a message, you're going to need to tattoo the earth. You know,
right,
if you
right.
Get, pass that down, you know?
Yes. And in the parapsychology class that I took, they talk a lot about mind over matter.
Okay.
That is a huge part of it. And the stories, and I'm going to tell you, the gentleman's name is Lloyd Arbach, and he's a genius, and people should go watch his YouTube speeches, his lectures, and his classes are on at Rhine Education, R-H-I-N-E. And if you're interested at all in, and it's a no, like I was telling you guys when I started, I said vibrations and it was like, whoop, we're not using those words here. It all has to be facts. And they actually did, studies on Kung Fu masters and using their chi. And the amazing things that they could do, he said when he was a kid, his dad worked at Wide World of Sports, and they actually saw the video of the Kung Fu artist breaking the bricks, and you could clearly see the bricks were breaking before the hand hit.
Wow.
And stuff like
that.
That'd
be so cool to
see.
That's
really, really cool.
And they had the guy come in and do, and Lloyd talks about this on his articles, so you go watch and go see his stuff. They talk about how they did bring in this guy that did Kung Fu, put Lloyd in a different room and told this guy to push him. And he would push him with his energy from one room where he could not see, and he was getting pushed in the other room.
Oh,
push him to the left, push him to the right, push him. And it's just fascinating.
Wow.
His mind over matter lectures are fabulous.
I've got to check that out. It's the Rhine Institute, R-H-I-N-E.
Yes, okay. And Lloyd Arbach.
Lloyd Arbach.
And he's written so many books on mind over... He's written some of the most fascinating books.
Does he like sort of go with the... Because like what really blew my mind about transurfing was Vadim saying like it already exists in infinity and you're just like choosing that reality. Is that sort of the same theory that he's going with? That's crazy. It's so counterintuitive to how we think, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And that's a lot of the testing that they do at that institute. And they sort of have categorized things like there's psi, which is, or there's telepathy, or there's, you know, kinesis, moving things.
Uh-huh.
But is it like if I was to try and bend a spoon right now, which is actually a real thing, which is fascinating in itself.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
If you're holding a spoon and you bend it, is that kinesis? Did you do it with your mind, or was the spoon going to bend and it was psychic that we picked up? It was going, like, it gets very chicken or the egg thing.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to put your finger on it for sure.
Yeah.
Nobody can really explain it. But
no, especially when science tries to categorize it. But like I'm a member of the Rhyme Education because they're just cool. doing their thing, and nobody wants to take them serious. Nobody wants to take parapsychology as a science. Huh. And it's an argument. Well, is psychology a science? Then this is just.
Yeah, sure. I can see that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I think there's something called the Bronnikov Institute that they have in Russia. That I think Vadim plugs it in Reality Transurfing, and it's like the X-Men school, kind of like the Rhyme thing that you're talking about,
slightly
like,
Hogwartsy.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of YouTube videos of kids doing some telepathic stuff and like learning some of those things. I think it's Bronnikov, is what that is. So I mean, it's not that far out, is it?
No, in fact, I'm making this the Lloyd Arbuck show. But he wrote a book with a couple other people called ESP Wars that was very interesting. In that when, I think this was during the Cold War, the United States started doing psychic exercises that in war to see what they could do. Oh, yeah,
like the Minister of Goats and, doing...
Exactly.
What do they call that when you project yourself?
Remote viewing. Yeah. Well, before that, the U.S. was trying... It somehow leaked to Russia that we were doing it and we were getting it right, and we were not. And then Russia, when they heard that... to put all this money into psychic warfare.
Oh my God.
And nobody was really getting it right, but they were kind of going at it. So it's kind of almost fascinating that we're talking about Vadim in this now.
Yeah.
And the book is called ESP Wars.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. A psychic war.
But nobody was getting it right. It was all wrong information.
Cold War, really, wasn't it? No. Yeah.
But everyone thought everyone else got it right. So they were upping the ante. And it was,
Man. And our space sets look great. Yes. both countries did really well with that.
I must admit.
Talk about ego. My goodness.
Yeah. But that, Terry, is a great topic about transurfing, and it sort of knocks, Toofty knocks the ego right out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, he never uses the word ego.
No.
He doesn't say vibration either. He doesn't say karma. Mm-mm. You know, and I think there are some subtleties and some nuance, and I believe karma still is a thing. I just don't think Vadim talks too much about it, but he does talk about balancing forces, right?
Yeah. Right.
And it makes sense in that way.
Yeah.
But I think, it's a little bit different even still. Like, he has his own vernacular. But Toofty talks about the plate, and I remember we talked a little bit about when there are spirits and things like that, and that
oh, the
they
entrance.
Sometimes feel like it's in the back of your neck.
Yeah, that was very interesting when she talked about the plate. And Terry and I had a conversation because you were like, wait, I don't know what the plate is.
Show me the plate.
And it was very interesting because I thought I had a visual right away. And I always thought, at the end of the Pixar movies when the little spotlight comes out? That's how I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it coming out right there.
Yeah.
And sort of a flat. And also what was very weird is when I was reading that, they talk about a braid.
Yeah.
And I always made the connection that the Native Americans.
What are you doing? You're going to just walk through a podcast set? Jesus Christ, come on.
We hear the little creaking sounds.
Dude, come get some water. It's cool. We're just chatting.
It was so funny.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Awesome.
I was just doing it. I just did a podcast this week with Ryan Singer, and we were talking about real fear and real things that and he had an experience that was terrifying. And he was telling me the story, and I'm in his apartment, and there's just a small doorway, and someone like floats by, and I'm like, who the hell is it? Like, he had five roommates, and I didn't know, and he didn't know where they were, and they just kept in the most scary part of his story. I'd see a little person go by, and I was like, who is that? What is going on? Right in the podcast. But I always thought about the plate, which was, Native Americans have that where they don't want to cut their hair,
right?
And they have a braid
right
back there because they feel like your hair is an extension. Huh. And after she said that, I would see, I remember walking through the airport, and there was a braided cord on the floor that had nothing to do with anything. And I started seeing braids everywhere. But yes, in the sort of where the... throat chakra goes through.
Uh-huh.
That is a lot of people, times you'll be ghost hunting and someone will feel a scratch.
Oh, yeah.
It's always on the back of the neck.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because as Tommy says, that's an entrance point.
Uh-huh.
If something's trying to have, like, not even a demon possessed, but a walk in, where a spirit is trying to walk in to a body for a temporary amount of time, that's the spot.
Wow. That's your spiritual G-spot.
Yeah.
Can you touch that again?
That's nice.
Open the plate. Well, open the plate.
Well, honestly, yes. Faster. Quicker. Right. Slower. Faster. No, I don't know. No, Gigi talked to me about that, actually. She was like, that's kind of where she felt, you know, that. And so Jessa drew me a weird photo one time, and so I can't help but visualize it.
Where she feels like the plate is?
Yeah.
Where does she feel it?
I don't know that.
She says that it's very much like Vadim describes it, like comes off the back of her head, but when she activates it, it's like off the in between the shoulders. And then she says when she activates it, it like raises up though.
Oh, that's interesting.
I still felt mine here.
Yeah. I think that's accurate. Yeah. I think it like goes all the way down to where the heart chakra is on the back.
Like a spotlight.
Okay. Because I'm not as visual. I'm really kinesthetic. So I feel, and I feel things. So I feel this cold spot and then I feel this like kind of like opening. And I always thought it was because there was an angel nearby.
That's cool.
Oh. So I'm like, oh, I can feel when angels are here, but I don't think it's really an angel. I think it's
the
plate.
Yeah. It might be it. I think, you know, he says too, that you should take your time and, you know, really just explore it and see what it's like, you know, like we're going through adolescence or something, you know, but yeah, that's kind of what, cause I think everybody has sort of a different perception of it or experience of it, I should say, you know, like for me, it feels like burning around the top of my head, like right here where my cul-de-sac is. And then it goes down into a rat tail on the back.
Okay.
You know, that's basically how, you know, that sort of would work. Like if I had hair, it would just be here, like, and then one long rat tail. Because I'm from Georgia, and I always wanted one when I was a kid. My parents wouldn't let me have one.
Oh, so that's funny.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Well, it is actually. If you think about that area, that's where you see angels have wings. I had a very bad, a negative attachment of something that attached on the back, and it was right in that area. All that's taking kind of place in that area. But if you think about wings. Yeah. When angels have wings, that's exactly what they're sort of protecting.
Right, I guess so. Yeah, it's right off the back of the shoulder blade there too. Yeah, and then there's the matrix thing too. That's like the back of the neck down there too.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that I don't know about.
I think there's a lot of different sort of ways you could look at it.
This is fun.
It's really interesting that's how spirits enter. So you were saying that you have different, like, there's not just possession, but you have hop-ons,
walk-ins.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because as a medium, they seriously just come through me and I blend with them.
Okay.
But then they leave. They don't take over my body. The first time they kind of did. So it's sort of similar, right? But like
a walk-in is a negative experience.
Okay.
And I've seen
met some pretty shitty dead people.
Yes.
Are there a lot of asshole dead people? I'm curious.
Plenty of asshole dead people.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Well, and a walk-on though is not no consent. Like when I've seen it happen during a ghost hunt, and it was literally something that wanted to be human for a while. So the person that actually had the body, it was like, well, I'll tell you who it happened to later, somebody that we know.
Oh, okay.
But it was somebody where she was literally like, get it out. And then she would switch back to, who the fuck are you, in this horrible something with an accent.
Wow.
Going at, and so it's a very
unwelcome. It's a very different experience than what I do. Yeah.
Because I think because medium, I know you sort of either have control or something like that.
Yeah.
But the two times that I've seen it, one time the person was completely unaware, and then when they came out of it, they didn't know what happened. But it's really a negative. It's something that wants to, and they can't sustain it.
Okay.
So I think it's a different energy than mediumship.
Because it's gotta be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because you can hold a conversation or know or tell me.
I will take physical characteristics on and movements as well.
I think a lot of actors and stuff do some of that.
Oh, I think they're all channels.
I think they're all channels. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, look at Jim Carrey's the documentary with Andy.
Without a doubt.
Which isn't channeling a different thing too?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, you're using everything. You're using all the same faculties. You're still using all of your senses. Yeah. I mean, channeling is channeling. I mean, That's what you're doing.
Yeah, okay. And I think actors don't know that, and I think that's
I think so, too. I think that, you know, I think that probably a lot of them don't know it. And I think channeling is just so hot right now. Right? Like, that new book, is it channeled?
You know? Hey, now.
It is. It's super hot. No, I mean, well, Vadim's doing it with that Russian lady. I don't know what they're up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, with Tufti or the Russian
lady? Yeah, the Tufton the Russian Tufti. Lady is Tufti. She also works for the Institute, but I believe that they work together.
Oh, you mean the...
Like, she channels to him or something like that.
Oh, I'm confused.
The Russian lady channels Tufti on the cover, who's painted up. But she's a real person, too.
But isn't that more like a muse versus a channel?
Maybe it is. So I guess we just need to define
and
our
terms. And he types it up? Semantics. He types it up?
Yeah, I believe he types it up. Yeah.
But Transurfing sort of came to him.
Transurfing, he wrote while he was doing an IT job. And he was like... constantly being bugged, and he's working just his 9 to 5, you know, and he just was writing stuff down all the time, kind of like a comedian does. Mm-hmm. Anytime something would come to him, he would write it down, and in jeopardy of maybe losing his job and compiling all of this knowledge, the dream thing happened to him, which led him to Transurfing. But, you know, I mean, he was a quantum physicist before he did the IT thing, but he basically, I guess, for lack of a better way, channeled it. I like to think of it as, it's all a spectrum. And it's like, if you're completely unconscious, are you channeling? I mean, I guess so. And if you're completely like in this moment of creative, you know, whatever that is, the pocket, you know, then you're channeling too.
The zone. It's the flow.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, the flow. Yeah. That. Then that's how is that not channeling? I don't know. It's like all sort of different versions of channeling or whatever, on a spectrum, kind of like hot or cold. Or,
well, I believe it's like where the ego is lying, because when you are in ego state, you're so much about yourself.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to have something from the outside come into you or for you to channel. So it's probably different levels of how egotistical you are in any given moment.
Interesting.
And automatic writing is something that comes and goes with me.
Amazing.
And lately I've been getting a lot of stuff, and I put it in my tarot card of the day Facebook group, and it seems to hit. But there's also a book called Elizabeth Gilbert that wrote Eat, Love, Pray, which I can't read that.
Eat, Pray,
that's
Love,
not for me. Whatever that is,
I'm actually working on a collection for my Instagram of books I'll never read. The Secret's one of them.
There's
another Jay Leno book about like pigs or at a barbecue or something. I can't remember.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Elizabeth wrote one called I recommend it to everybody.
It's the same lady that wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Right, but it's Big Magic.
Big Magic.
It will blow your mind as a creative person.
Cool.
And she interviews all these people and stories of it's basically too really good for a creative person, where it's like, just do it. Don't get hung up on it. And I don't really have time if you're going to talk to me about how you were drunk and a sad alcoholic and your story didn't work. We don't care. We're all going to go over here and create. You can feel bad for yourself.
Yeah.
But there's some amazing stories. In fact, there was a famous poet that worked in her, she had like a farm or whatever she was talking about. And the poet, she would be working out in the farm and she would feel the poem coming and she would have to run to her pen and paper to grab it.
Cool.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And she talks about how ideas are around you, and she's one of the greatest stories of hers, but if you don't grab the idea is like, I'm going to someone else.
I think there's a lot of evidence for that, because I've had some ideas and then somebody else has done something with them.
Oh, yeah.
Emerson says, and I hope I don't overstate this, but he's talking about in Self-Reliance about how when you don't follow your genius, then you get to endure the shame of hearing somebody else tell you the idea that you once had. And he does it in such a dirty way, you know?
That's fun.
Like I'm feeling shame right now.
That's how he shames you a little
just
bit.
Just how you're it's saying like, that.
Yeah, he's like an angry dad, you know? Just like,
right.
not really. That's one of my favorite books. I've read it like so many times.
What is that book?
Self-Reliance by Ralph Emerson. It's an essay. It's pretty short.
I think he's right on that. If you don't act on it, the idea goes elsewhere. And she also talks about how, I think it was in Greece, they didn't say someone was a genius. They said they had genius with them.
That's cool.
Which left it open, which meant nobody had the pressure of being a genius.
Cool.
And it also meant anyone could be visited by genius at any time. You didn't have to be this person. But that's a wonderful book, Big Magic.
Yeah, I will definitely check. That sounds great. I'll definitely check it out. I won't read Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah,
either.
I don't know what that was. What happened there?
Fair enough.
But you know, she even talks about the pressure of how she still had her day job when that hit, you know, number one.
Sure.
And she also talks about how people came up to her and were like, "Wow, nothing in your life is ever going to be as good as that. What are you going to do?"
Ugh.
Like how the world was like, "All over now. Good for you.
You peaked."
You peaked. Yeah. That about the and it
what?
Was and,
no, this is the beginning,
right?
And I, you
right.
know, I think about that a lot too because I've had a lot of apprehension about teaching transurfing or anything on YouTube and being a YouTuber, you mm-hmm. know, because there's this weird connotation with all my creative friends, you know,
right?
And it's it's unspoken, and I get that, you know what I mean? But like, you have to do whatever you have to say yes to something, go to the next thing, and it's okay, you know what I mean? Like, so I want to always try and encourage people about that, just like. Just follow and do it anyway, and probably nobody's going to care. And the worst thing that happens most of the time is they just scroll by it. I mean, you can just bomb hard, you know, and nobody's
and
probably
nobody
ever going to know.
And that's okay.
That's right. Yeah. It's totally fine.
Well, that's kind of true. In fact, the other day, somebody just told me podcasting was over. And I was like, really? Because my numbers are growing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what your... Right. What, exactly. Okay, when you tell me what's next, I think the next thing is books that have video in them.
Okay, interesting. Hmm.
Not that I have a book with video in it, but
that sounds pretty cool.
I said that to somebody during a reading. I said, you're actually going to have a book that's a Kindle book that has the video that runs on the pages.
Wait a second.
And I was like, what did I say?
So wait, is that like a little Netflix type? Isn't that Netflix?
No, I think
on your tablet?
Series,
yeah.
Right?
Like,
no, I think it's going to be where you're reading a book and then say you're reading... Toofty, and you flip to the next page, and on the next page, there's a video of showing where the...
Okay. So like a book with GIFs.
A book with GIFs.
Basically.
That could be helpful.
And we all go cross-eyed.
Where's my plate? Where's my plate?
Right? Well, that's what I think. It's more than a diagram, and I just said this. To Leigh. I go, you're going to have a book that's going to have videos in it. She's like, okay. I was like, wait, what did I say? What happened there?
That's pretty interesting, though. I can see that. You know, the way graphics are going. Because it started out, and I would see a still graphic and be like, wow, that's really nice. And, like, if I see, like, a 2007 graphic, I'm just like, you know, I'm all judgy, you know? But now everything's so crisp, and it moves.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's crazy, all the...
Well, I put so I have Paranormal Care in the podcast, and then I have Paranormal Care in the web series, which gets everyone confused. But the web series are just these 1 minute comedy videos. But I was like, yeah, what about animation? You can get your own animation program now, free, some of them, and I've made some of them full animation. That's why I need my next iPad with the iPencil. But it's amazing, like, you don't have to go to school, and I go, oh, this is button, and so you make your own little animations. It's kind of fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah,
it's all out there.
It's amazing. Yeah, I like the animation stuff. Podcasting is definitely not over. There's
I don't think it ever will be.
No, it's I mean, I remember when it was, you know, more punk rock, I guess, you know,
right,
like
more
it was
alt-y.
More like, yeah, more like pirate radio, and there was RSS feeds, and you had to swashbuckle to like subscribe to somebody's podcast. But like, yeah, I mean, it's just more accessible. It's cool now. Like, I've got some interns actually, and they're like all about it, and they're interested in reality transurfing too. Well, one of them is. The other ones are like, this fucking guy talking, you know? And it's like, well, actually, we're trying to start a comedy club in Athens, and I think we're still kind of doing it. There's just been a lot going on, and some things kind of got funky. They wanted us to build an elevator, the city did, and that's a lot of money.
Because we
wanted to do, you know, a split level, whereas the bar is down here, but then, you know, that way it's not so loud and stuff. But anyway, we're navigating all that. It's fine. I think it'll happen in its due time. But a friend of mine who's really, really funny, he's like, dude, let's just start a comedy club. We need one.
You know what else would be that would be perfect for you is how about the comedy club and the podcast studios right there?
Right, exactly.
The comics.
That's one of the...
Because that's how comics are filling rooms now.
Yeah, through podcasts. Yeah. I mean, I think what Renee and I are starting to do is almost leaning more toward comedy just because we're going to start saying outlandish and provocative things through the lens of transurfing just because. Why not? Let's explore this idea.
Have fun.
Exactly. And have fun. And that's what like a lot of these podcasts are just... These people who do podcasts, and they're basically just going to their audience live and just doing their same podcast. I mean, there's not it's not necessarily that they're writing an act or anything even.
Yeah.
They're just showing up and just rocking it out and just having a good time.
Well, authenticity is connecting.
That's true.
So
imagine
more authentic.
That.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt today. It was like, pretend to brush your teeth. I was like, no, I will brush my teeth on camera.
Why but I'm not going to pretend
to brush my teeth on camera, you know? Like, I mean, no offense, you know, like, but I get it, right? Like, yeah, that's cool. Let's get some B-roll, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I was like, but I know, you know, but I just know myself enough to like, I don't want to, I'm not an actor. I don't want to be an actor.
Yeah.
If I'm anything, I'm a comic. And that's more risky. It's more fun, you know?
Well, my friend always says, and it's very funny because I think they're two different skill sets. My friend always says comics are working to be themselves and actors are working to be other people.
Yeah, there you go.
And everybody thinks that they transfer over. They do not.
Mm-mm. Actors are new agers. They're just channelers.
Yeah.
You know, they're super new age, you know? Comics. Well, comics are a little bit more into quantum physics.
Yeah. Well, I had to work hard in acting class because if they were saying like you have to play the character of a woman that's being beaten by her husband, you know, if that's me, it's coming with eye rolls because you know he would be dead. So I had to learn to go there and had to say to myself, this is not you. This is someone else.
You know? Yeah.
No, totally. Absolutely. So you brought me a gift, and I want to, first of all, say thank you.
You're welcome.
And I was blown away, and I hope it doesn't, like, ruin the magic of the first time, but I would love for you to tell me a little bit more about
this particular
mug and what it means, because it's my favorite mug that I've ever had, and I have Jack Handy mugs, okay? So I have cool mugs. So this is my favorite mug I've ever had.
I love this. And this is my new favorite thing. And I've emailed the people twice. And the artist better come on my podcast because I'm going to plug more business than he knows. But this is a beautiful porcelain cup made in Poland. So it's high quality. And it is called Calamity Ware. And you have to look very closely at it to realize it has zombie poodles. And it has a Bigfoot character, but it's there to remind you if you have a bad day, you look at your coffee cup and it reminds you that it could always be worse.
That's beautiful. I love it so much.
It has robot attacks and they have all kinds of dishes that have everything. They have dinosaurs eating the world, but they're beautiful cups.
No, this is gorgeous. It looks like old China.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like an old China teacup. It really does, like that you might find in like an, you know, like in your grandmother's like,
yeah,
closet,
like, yeah, like yeah, or like the glass see-through. No, don't touch those.
Yeah,
like we got the shelf just for those to
and
sit there forever.
And they went all out with it.
Yeah,
like it's made in Poland. It's good porcelain. It's
yes,
you could get away with that at a wedding.
Oh, you could,
like, as a joke.
I know.
Isn't that great? Oh,
and they have plates and they have bowls, and it came up in my Instagram and I was like, everyone's getting that, and I've been mass ordering them, and I'm like, this is my gift to you.
I really appreciate it. It's well, beautiful.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so in love with it. I love you pointed out the zombie poodle. There's a zombie poodle, and there's definitely a pirate ship and a stick man. That's the guy who scares me the most.
Oh, the stick, yeah, there's stick man. There's flying. There's flying birds. Yeah. There's that's pterodactyl birds or something like that.
Things have tails. It's neat.
It's my favorite thing.
I think it's interesting, like that whole idea of infinity and the space variations and spirits and all of that is like, do we just create them with our mind? Like, because they already, everything exists, right? So if Mickey Mouse is just as real as anything else. Yeah. Now, is Mickey Mouse going to, you know, start walking around, you know, but he's still real, but possibilities and realities are not the same thing.
Well,
I think maybe.
I know that I have the wrong word for this, but there is thought forms. And I actually sometimes think there's something in New Jersey called the Jersey Devil. Now there's all kind of what they call cryptozoology, which is the study of creatures that we don't know, which would be like Bigfoot or Mothman, my favorite.
Yeah, my mom loves cryptids. Oh. She's all about cryptids.
Well, I always feel like, because you can create a thought form, and I always felt like that's what the Jersey Devil was, because the Jersey Devil is the only one I can't jump on board, other than if you're to tell me it's a small Mothman or something. But the tale all over New Jersey is that there was this woman, and she ended up marrying a sea captain or whatever, a general, and she didn't want to be married and she kept having kids and she was pregnant with the 13th kid. And she said, if I have this child, it will be the devil's child or something. I don't know the whole story. Ooh. So she has the 13th child and it comes out looking like the Jersey Devil and it runs off. And that's the legend, which to me isn't quite like a Mothman where you kind of, these things seem to be coming from elsewhere. But I think enough people think about that, enough people picture it, and then somebody out of the corner of their eye sees something run. Now everyone's putting so much thought into it, it becomes something. And there's an actual word for that, and I cannot remember.
Mandela effect, is it not? I mean, is it not kind of the same phenomenon where we're shifting our consciousness collectively to a certain thing and agreeing on it and creating more momentum for that pendulum?
I think that's how it materialized. And now it's a thing that you might actually see running around New
Jersey.
Well,
it becomes a belief system too.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's the whole, and plenty of cultures have various, you know, characters like that. So it's a belief system and it's passed down through cellular DNA and ancestral DNA. So,
and it gives it more energy. And
yeah, and it gives it more energy.
It's New Jersey, so it could really be anyone.
That's true.
It could be anyone.
Just don't stop at a gas station at night.
Right.
Anyone suspect in New Jersey. Oh my God, that's great.
That's true. But it is interesting. In fact, the Mandela effect now is just making me crazy.
Yeah, it really messed with my head, but I think there's like a silver lining with it. You know, I think that what it means is we can kind of change the past in a way. Not that we want to change the past, because like the past isn't real and the future's not real.
Right.
That's an address that we dial into, is kind of how Vadim says, like the internet. But if we shift our consciousness in the here and now, the past looks different to us. And we could shift our relationship to any thing that's happened to us, a trauma or something that we thought was great, and then change our attitude and emotional state about it, and then it becomes a dark thing or a positive thing. We sort of just choose. So that being the case, you know, I got way down in this conspiracy wormhole. I know you're no stranger.
No.
You know, and I'm like, well, what do I do?
Right.
Like the question is, what do I do? And understanding how important negative energy is as well as positive energy in creating these thought forms and the snowball of the thought form themselves. Well, if we, more and more of us start shifting our attention, that's basically all we are is attention.
So, oh my gosh.
Shift it over. That's what consciousness is. Shift it over here. And then we look behind and we're like, holy shit, we were living in that. No, it was the Bernstein Bears, you dumbass.
Yeah. You know, there's two, the one part of the book that I could almost see it from the moment she said it, was the part about almost like it's a film reel and we are sort of the light from the projector. That was so unbelievably clear, and the people that coming to life, that's the exercise I do the most, which I notice I'm here now and I'm projecting this.
That's cool. So I heard Jessa say this one time and it always stuck with me, that we are projectors and mirrors, reflectors. So I project to you, you're a mirror, and whatever I project to you, you reflect back to me, and on and on. And I was like, damn, that's such a great visual. And you know, Vadim as much says that, you know, the world's a mirror and frail and all these, you know, concepts that he talks about, but it's exactly the same thing.
And that's always been a spiritual exercise too, when you teach people protection, empaths, is you picture yourself surrounded by mirrors that look out. So when negative people come up to those mirrors, they don't want to come to you. But when someone positive, they see what's in the mirror, they go, oh, I want to be around this.
That is so cool. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
I use a plexiglass.
Oh, yeah.
Protection.
Like metaphor or?
Not a real one. Yeah, oh, yeah, metaphorically. Yeah. Like, that'd be really uncomfortable. Be no, like, hi.
Hey, guys, I'll lift my guard for you.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand. I apologize, Terry. Yeah.
I didn't realize what I said. You made a lot of sense, actually, about it.
Yeah,
well, you walk around in a plexiglass.
But no, I mean, I think I know what you mean. You know, you have like a protective layer there.
Yeah, and it's bulletproof.
That's good.
I'm a neurotic Jew, you know. Okay. So like, okay, if it's good enough for a bank, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, that should work. Yeah, if it works for the Pope, then, you know. We'll try it out too, for sure.
You know what's funny though about that Mandela effect too, is because I've been doing a lot of reading about how we there are identities that we are so connected to. And I know someone right now that he is so connected to the identity that he is a guilty man. And he's the least guilty person, like whatever it came from Catholic religion or something. But that's literally, he is so married to that identity that he can't understand me when I say that to him. And I will say, he says, I was taught that. And I like, no, no. If you were taught that until you were 20, after 20, it's yours. That's what I who is that lady that Carolyn Miss says? If you're a racist till you're 20, you were taught that.
Right.
After 20, it's on you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that's everything in life, and being able to think that we can go back and sort of change the projection or change the timeline can help us change those, because it's not just a thought process. I think it's a vibration that we carry. So when we carry, people that overcome, I think they overcome it mentally, mm-hmm. and therapy will eventually move into the vibration. But when they mm-hmm. lose the vibration, then it's over.
Yeah.
And but that takes awareness. And also a lot of that is held in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be released from the body itself.
Yep.
As well. And then it creates that awareness. And you can't obviously do anything without being aware of it. So,
right.
You know, then you can choose the timeline that you need to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's all awareness.
Yeah. The awareness is the woke. And I know it's not changed in a snap, but once you know, like I said, I have a friend and she's an actress and everything is beyond negative and she has no awareness.
Yeah.
None. And if you say that she's being negative, she will get angry.
Right.
I am not.
Imagine that.
I know.
Yeah,
the nerve.
Yeah.
And so it is an awareness and it's not that it can change in a snap, but I think you can change the road.
Absolutely. It's practice. Once you're aware of something, practice. Then you have to implement and then be consistent with the practice. And I'm still learning that right now with all of this. And that's what's exciting and scary and frustrating all at the same time.
Oh, and you have to go through that learning if you're going. That's why you're a great medium and a great reader is you can't. There's the readers that are just like, they go, A, B, and C is going to happen. Give me $50.
Oh, hell no.
But then there's the integrated help and understanding of the situation that goes deeper that leads to both. And I think it's almost like a shaman. You have to live it. Your shaman has to heal himself to become a shaman.
Physician heal thyself.
Yep.
That's right.
But yeah.
But I mean, I see so many healing aspects in this trans surfing thing that it's really helping me heal as well. So it's, I mean, it's, yes, it's a philosophy, but I also feel like it's a healing technique.
That's cool.
So, I mean, I'm seeing it from maybe a different perspective and it's freaking awesome.
I'm glad you think so.
It's calming me down.
That's good. That's it good. Is. Awesome. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. I mean, there's these little phenomenon that he just kind of picks on that you're just like, oh shit. Yeah, that thing, you know? The thing that, like, when I try to go this way, they go that way. You know, like those weird energy dynamics.
It helps you allow other people to have their experience, which is clearly letting go of control.
Right.
Which I'm is not saying one. I like control.
No.
We're both Leos. Me? We got. No.
Well, you know, it's you just have to find another method to control your reality. You are bending reality, but you're not doing it with the tools that we were given. It's like using that inner intention. It's like I could annoy the shit out of you and send you a bunch of messages or, you know, photos of me laying on the bed or something, trying to get you over here to do all my podcast or something. But it's like, that's not going to work. I have to.
I don't know. But if it might have worked on me. I'm just saying.
All right. I'm not going to say it's not going to work on everybody. But you know, just bugging somebody or just, you know, doing things the typical way and just like, that's not the way to get what you want. Like if you actually think about what the other person might like a mug to remind them how shitty their life could be, then at that point, You know,
it's
like
oddly enough a positive thinking tool, even though it's kind of not.
Remember, no, you're not a mug. You're not a mug.
That's right. No, that's my best.
Like, new mantra. Make you smile. I'm not a mug.
Yes, absolutely. I think I made a video the other day. It was like fuck enlightenment. You know, I didn't actually spell it out, but it was like F.
I saw that on YouTube. I haven't watched it yet. But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea is like, dude, you know, it's a false sort of mirage in a lot of ways. Anyways, it's a pendulum. Before you know it, you've shaved all of your hair off and you're wearing a tunic or a toga or whatever and you're eating porridge and that's it. It's like, dude, I'm here to be human.
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, and I was bummed out that day and I was like, I'm still going to make a video about this. You know?
Good for you and your authenticity.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that is it. You're going to get mad. You're going to do things
exactly.
wrong.
Let's be human. We can be human and observe being human at the same time.
And that's you know what's such a big one is, and especially women, feel responsible for everyone else. Right? I've ruined everyone's day. I've worked so hard. Blah, blah, blah. No, everybody, that's the one thing about trans surfing. You're you. And this country really is a big victim. We have a big victim thinking.
Yeah, we do.
And victims are very rewarded.
That's true.
And I also think therapy is good, but I think it's slow. There's faster ways.
Sure.
It's...
Well, you can do therapy while you trans surf too.
Right.
You don't need to wait to implement these principles, but you should still work on yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying that. And you know, like what we're just trying to just provide these ideas and these tools in this set of definitions. So you're like, oh, I get this phenomenon. Like it makes
the
sense.
Wave of luck is the biggest one.
That's the, that one
and
is
it's the simplest.
It is the simplest. It is. Yeah. Be grateful for what happens and start to build that. And then don't take too much credit for it because then you'll,
so interesting.
You'll
fall.
There's a lot of movements going on. And I mentioned earlier that, and you asked me this on your podcast too, I think about like the paper people in Tufty. Where he talks about like there are people who are just unconscious and they're paper people basically, right? Like they're not, you go out and you just see all these like sort of people floating around and stuff. Well, there's these people who are kind of taking that a little bit maybe too far and kind of trying to manipulate those folks with their own will and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so and they're teaching it on YouTube. And I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
So yes, that's what I'm talking about. And it's true, there are paper people. I was one of them. I was being thought. You know what I mean? I was, you know, until I was probably, you know, 29, 30 when I had this horrible breakup. I was living in a van with my raft guide girlfriend down by the river in Montana and she cheated on me with another raft guide.
What?
Yeah, dude. I was going to propose to her too.
That sounds like a sitcom.
Oh, it was great. She kept the raft. Yeah, it's a sitcom for sure.
But Montana is so beautiful.
It was
you could
so
live
beautiful.
In a raft
yeah,
in Montana.
Yeah, you could. We basically just did.
I would like a tiny house in Montana.
It was wonderful. I do miss Montana. I was in West Virginia for a while too, but
so many cryptoids in West Virginia.
Yeah,
insane.
There's a lot of those.
The
cryptids. Cryptids.
Why
I think that's how
West
you pronounce
Virginia?
There's a lot of like old cars to camp out in.
But you got the Flatwoods Monster. You got the Mothman. There's a lot.
Are there a lot of trees
there?
Dude, maybe
you know the movie
why?
Wrong Turn.
No.
That's a good one. Oh yeah, you've got you've also got the inbred.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cryptids.
Isn't that the mountains in North Carolina too? There's a lot of.
I mean, everywhere the whole South where I'm from, pretty much just paint that just really, really messed up.
You're very unsouthern at moments.
Thank you, I appreciate that. If I have a couple of beers, that changes. I turn into Yosemite Sam.
Oh, that's funny.
I had one joke. I was like, and I told it once, and it actually landed. I was like, I had to quit alcohol because I had such a big problem with alcohol. I had to call AAA. Took the audience about 7 seconds to get it. I was just standing up there, like about to poop my pants. Like, is this gonna land? You know? It's the first time I ever like stared down an audience.
Yeah,
I was like,
oh my
gosh.
God,
I, you know.
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah. Paper people in the audience.
Yeah, there you go.
My new joke is that people are afraid of tarot and they shouldn't be because they're just pieces of paper. They're like a marriage license in LA. They mean nothing. But if you want to be afraid, mosquitoes are worth, they're just killing everyone. I think that's what's wrong with Florida, mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. Yeah. Oh, they're the worst. They have big cockroaches down there in Florida too.
They
really
do,
big.
But mosquitoes have killed like more people on the planet than most disease. Like mosquitoes are responsible.
They spread disease,
right?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like switching blood and nobody knew knew it.
Oh my God.
I know. Ooh. That don't be afraid of tarot. Mosquitoes are going to kill you. You got blood brothers
all over the place. You know? Yes. You didn't even know you had.
Nope.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. I mean, we definitely are all one. We're sharing all the same diseases. We're all pink and stinky inside.
Yes.
And all that stuff, you know.
That's a t-shirt, right?
Yeah. It's, I think that was on from Anchorman, to be honest. I think Paul Rudd says that in Anchorman too. I thought it a few times, especially the stinky part. So I'll give credit. Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to steal people's jokes and you know, on, especially on a spiritual, religious podcast.
Religious?
Yeah, it's a cult.
Okay.
Welcome. Yeah, the
then
doors
I can
are locked.
See it. Okay.
You're not going
I can
anywhere.
See that.
It's over.
Already drank the Kool-Aid, so we're good. We're good.
Yeah. Pellegrino. It's got gas.
It's going down. It's going down.
Well, yeah. So much fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh,
thank you so much.
It's so cool. I really appreciate you coming into the group. I appreciate you coming into the group and talking to the folks on the Facebook group. It's been a lot emotionally.
It's so supportive. It is so supportive. I feel like I can say whatever I want without judgment.
Yeah. Well, that's,
where do you find that?
I don't think you do. And you know, I think part of the reason too is, you know, there's no links in there. I will cyberbully if you post links in the group. I will. I'm coming after you. Going after your firstborn's blog.
Yeah.
Oh boy. That is it. I'm out.
You know, but you have to do that. I have a Facebook tarot card of the day, and nobody posts unless they comment. They can't post but me, because people want to put up ads and stuff, and
right.
I'm like, no.
It's crazy.
One post a day. That's
no, we're
it.
Trying
it
to have a discussion.
Me.
We want to teach people this stuff, and we want to talk to you guys and see how it's working for you and compare notes. And you know, that's the fun part. And you know, we got a lot of submission videos of people, and there's one of the folks in there, Jessica Lawson's her name. She's from Cincinnati. She's so sweet. She sent us this like 10-minute video, and she's just, I mean, I was just crying. I don't think so. But she probably could be if she wanted to be. She seemed a little nervous in front of the camera to be a comedian, but she's really cool and funny, and she's just learning about reality transurfing, and she's seeing things happen in her world, and she's just really excited about it. And she's so sweet. Like, I was just messaging with her, you know, last night, but we watched the video today, and I was just like crying my eyes out. It was so sweet. There's been a lot of people sharing posts like that. You know, there's a lot of really talented people also, I'll say, in the group, you know, like a lot of artists and musicians and just amazing people, and people who are lurkers. I didn't even know lurkers were a thing, but
what is lurkers?
So like people who like just
they're
go
just
on your
watching.
Page and they just watch it, you know, they don't actually
but they're learning
it.
You know,
no, but
they're
it's,
learning
it's
lurkers.
I guess I was a lurker, but I just never knew in most of the groups that I'm in.
Yeah.
And I just never knew what that was. I just wanted to explore the
well
the
it can be region. Scary to have a voice sometimes, mm-hmm. if that's your story, like whatever I say has no meaning, you know. So here's a place for people to have a voice, be seen, be heard, be acknowledged. I mean, that's all we humans want.
Yeah, it's
you
true.
Know, so that space is being provided.
And support, and just,
yeah.
just support, just like, no, like you said, non-judgmental support.
Yeah.
Because the point is for us to each be our most authentic. So,
and the fact that people are at different levels, mm-hmm. ooh, that's great. Because once I get to be, you know, further up the line, I would love to be able to guide and help people.
Yeah, that's the best part. Because like a lot of times I'll see somebody's comment, I'm like, oh, good question. Well, I guess somebody else already answered it. You know? People are getting good at this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the cool part, too. And, you know, just learning from each other and being supportive. So thank you all so much for that. And, you know, we're going to try to keep that vibe there. And, of course, we're going to grow the group. And, you know, we're here right now working on an advanced sort of curriculum that we're going to have, and then a bunch of free stuff. And you know,
will there be any type of coaching if somebody wanted some one-on-one coaching or mentorship?
I have a couple of clients right now, and then Gigi also will take on clients.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Renee will do one-on-one instruction. She usually tries to aim toward teaching instructors, you know, mm-hmm. who ultimately, you know, you start, it's kind of, you go through the first program anyway, and then you know, you could open up to the whole like instructor thing. But we were shooting videos about that all day today.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, definitely one-on-one coaching is something I do. I felt really weird about it, just like so many things, like doing stand-up comedy. You know, it's like I felt weird about doing it, but I really enjoy it. I actually really like it. I'm pretty good at it. Like, and I'm, mm-hmm. I can't wait to see my people do their shit. You know,
yeah.
Like, well, I can't wait to see them accomplish their goals. And I'm happy to, like, I've spent 7 years reading esoteric books and self-help and all this stuff. So I'm happy. I've got some weird techniques and tricks up my sleeve, and I love to help people. I like to, you know, I would just want to do that in any way. And that's what's great about this group. I don't lie when I say, like, I melt sometimes over it. And Damian Rourke is the guy who, it was his idea to do this. He hit me up months and months ago, and we've developed a friendship. And finally, it just made sense for the four of us to like just administrate this group.
Yeah.
And then come out here and hang out and shoot some stuff and hang out and do some cool content and get to hang out with you, Karen. And I think Jess is coming by on Saturday and, you know, just,
I'm excited. I have a reading with Jess on Monday. I've never met her. I don't know her. Karen's like, go get a reading from her. I'm like,
Okay.
I do it.
I hit her up as soon as I got down, or, you know, we were like at Trader Joe's. I was like, I'm in LA. She is zinged me back. I'm in Delaware.
Yeah. I was just thinking she's just in Delaware.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, hi. I'm in Delaware, you know, from the Wayne's World movies, you know, that's all I could think of. I've never been to Delaware. I'd love to go though. I mean, I'm sure it's.
Maybe you can open up a comedy club there.
Yeah, I'm just going to be like a
whole chain
Pentecostal comedy club opener evangelist. You know, I'm just going to like open it up. Yeah. The apostle of comedy clubs. And I'll go to Bainbridge, Georgia.
There
and,
you go.
You know, Knoxville, Tennessee. But anyway, I'll stop now. But no, thank you all both for coming on. Terry Huberman.
Thank you.
Karen, Paranormal Karen Rontowski.
Paranormal Karen.
Be sure to go and check out Paranormal Karen. It's an awesome show. She talks about all kinds of great stuff, just like some of the stuff we've been talking about here. And Terry, how can people find you if they want to, you know, engage?
TerryHuberman.com or on Facebook or Instagram, Intuitive Coach Terry.
Intuitive Coach Terry on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's amazing. TerryHuberman.com.
Yeah, thank you.
Paranormal Karen.
Paranormal Karen.
Google it.
KarenRontowski.com or at Rontowski on Instagram. Yes.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you all so much for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
It was my honor. Thank you so much. Well, that does it for one more episode of the Reality Transurfing Podcast. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Be sure to go over to the International Transurfing Institute on Facebook, the group there. We're happy to talk to you about all things transurfing. We want to help you understand this information, so do that. Check out Transurfing TV. If you're not streaming it on this podcast is also available on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, basically anywhere pods are cast. That's where you can find this show. And, you know, if you want to help a brother out with the production on this show, I do all the production on this stuff, please go to patreon.com/BootsyGreenwood and give me a dollar. Just give me a dollar. Let me hold a dollar. All right, guys, thanks so much. Go to transurfing.us to transurf with us, and we will see you guys on the next one. Happy surfing.